It's time now for the Morning Monster Podcast with Bobby Raider.
Lee Spencer, racingboys.com. Hey, Lee, good morning. How are you?
I'm great. You guys doing well?
Doing well. We appreciate your time, as always. No racing this week, no racing next week, at least at the major circuit, but the silly season has already begun, and it's off and running, isn't it, Lee?
It is, and, you know, there's some murmurs as to who's going where and what's, you know, going to happen, but, you know, it's, I think right now, probably the biggest story is just watching to see who's going to get those final spots in the chase, because I say the chase, but the playoffs,
right.
Because it's, you know, the clock is ticking. Eric Almirola kind of upset the apple cart, and so now we're trying to find out, okay, you know, Denny Hamlin said all year long he didn't have to win. I just wonder if he's changed his tune.
This 2 weeks off, though, Lee, shouldn't affect any of that. Well, I mean, sometimes we talk about teams being off the off week and all that, players healing up. I mean, it's really not the same effect in racing, is it?
You know, that's a good question. It just depends. Some guys I look at, like a Michael Annette on the Xfinity Series, who had issues and, you know, had realized he had a fracture in his leg and had surgery. So yeah. Somebody like that, you know, that could give him the opportunity to get back in the game. But, you know, I can't think of anybody else who's got, you know, major issues going on other than just really needing to relax, regroup, and come back at it. I mean, you kind of hit it for Stewart Haas Racing, who's been so bad all season long, and then they finally get a little burst of positivity, and then you have to go on a break and lose that momentum. But, you know, guys like Christopher Bell, who was on a roll before he took off and then went out into the dirt world and won a race, finished second in a race and with the All-Stars, and then on the Circuit of Champions, with the World of Outlaws, you know, he had a top 10 finish. So when you look at a situation like that for him, that's just added momentum, right? When you come back because you're out racing, you're winning. So many of these guys, I mean, I was buzzing through Flow Racing the other day, and Justin Haley was running a dirt modified. So, you know, some of these guys are actually taking time out. Other ones of these guys are still trying to keep themselves sharp behind the wheel of other forms of race cars. So, you know, I think right now it's whatever's best for them they're doing. There doesn't seem to be the restrictions that they've had on these guys in the past. So, like I just saw a release before the weekend, Chase Elliott is going to get in a midget once again. He's going to drive the BC39 in Indianapolis. So he joins a long list of other you know, NASCAR stars that'll be in that event.
Kenny, you and I were talking earlier. I can't remember the last time they had a 2 week break. I don't remember, believe it or not, almost 20 years ago, 9/11, how long NASCAR stopped down after that. But as far as a 2 week break, I don't remember one recently.
Well, I think that a lot of people are taking vacations that they would not have taken or have not been able to take in the past, you know, spending time with their family and their kids. And, you know, like I said, the guys that are really going hard at it, if you're, I think you take maybe a week off and then you have to get back at it. I don't think you can stay idle during this time, especially leading into the playoffs. I mean, some of these organizations are in, you know, good shape, but, you know, Hendrick's been riding a really high wave, but then they discovered something with the front end of their cars. They were putting Bondo on the right headlights. And so when NASCAR took that away from the Hendrick cars, that little bit of aerodynamic advantage thing, you got to get back to the drawing board and figure out, okay, what am I going to do now? Now that NASCAR, you know, discovered this little area where we found an advantage, how are we going to get that advantage back with five races to go before the playoffs? And so I just don't think you can sit idle if you really want to be taken serious during those final 10 races.
You know, we have discussed the move for Keselowski to Roush. My question is, yes, it is smart financially, I guess, for Keselowski, but is it smart for him as far as racing to join up with Roush Fenway after leaving a team such as Penske?
Well, I look at the type of pressure that is over at Penske, and you see a guy like Todd Gordon, who you thought was probably one of the smarter guys – take a step back and say, do I really need to be doing this? And I think if, you know, if the pandemic didn't force you to reevaluate your life, then you probably didn't use that time wisely, you know, because, you know, in introspect, a lot of people are spending a lot of time, you know, down where they would not have been, you know, they would have been moving and grooving, right? So, you know, Todd Gordon was one of those guys, you know, before the pandemic, Paul Wolf was, you know, contemplating whether or not he should find something else to do. So I would think over there with the pressure, the burnout factor is really high. And if you know that the president's son, you know, the Austin Cindric, whose father's president, Tim Cindric, is president of Team Penske, you know, even though you've been the alpha dog over there, how much longer does that last? So this might have been just the absolute perfect time for him to come in, him to pick his own people and move people into the places and start, you know, I think, let me step back. With the new car coming in, next year's going to be a pivotal year for people to start from scratch, right? You have a clean sheet of paper. You're probably going to lose a third of your workforce. So if you're going to recreate the wheel, next year is really the opportune time to do it. And if you can, you know, already have the announcement out and then figure out who your, you know, partners in crime are going to be, then this might be the absolute perfect time for him to try something new and give it one last hurrah. And not only that, build something. I mean, Keselowski's a builder. He's somebody who wants to leave his mark on whatever he does in the sport. And, you know, he spoke about wanting to, you know, have a truck team to give back, you know, to find a way to keep building things back up. And I think that that's one of the more attractive aspects to this deal is just giving him the opportunity to really leave his mark on something.
Some of the other drivers that also had to be thinking about their future, Austin Dillon, obviously, with his grandfather's race team. Kevin Harvick, I mean, when is his deal up? He's been with Stuart Haas since 2014. Some of the guys, I mean, looking at it, I mean, we assume that obviously they'll be back.
What about Ryan Newman, too?
Well, you know, honestly, it's like you said, Austin Dillon, his grandfather owns the team. So you doubt that he's going anywhere, even though I think, you know, it'll eventually prove out that Reddick is the more talented of the two drivers. Right. I think that when he thought maybe the 48 was open, you know, he contemplated leaving, and then you threw Kyle Larson into the mix. I mean, I don't think anybody thought that Larson would be in the mix that quick, but he was. And so he signed a 2-year deal over there. So he's got this year and next year. You mentioned Kevin Harvick. Harvick told me he had a 2-year deal because, you know, there was a while that people thought maybe he might, if Kurt didn't take the 2311 gig, that Kevin would go over there and, you know, one last hurrah, kind of like what Keselowski's doing. But I think a lot of these people are just, you know, reevaluating and trying to figure out what the, you know, what the next run or that final run might look for him. I mean, Austin Dillon's too young for that, but, you know, Kevin Harvick, Brad Keselowski, Kurt Busch, this next move might be their last. So I think they're, you know, probably thinking wisely about what they do and what 2022 and beyond looks like.
As Bobby just mentioned, obviously Ryan Newman now out of a job because it'll be Keselowski behind the number six. He's been offered a part-time role with Roush Fenway. Does he do that, or does he go to another team, or does he step away?
I mean, you know, that's a really good question. I think he still wants to race. I mean, I've seen him, you know, pick up dirt rides, you know, over the last couple of years. He made his debut at Chili Bowl a couple of years ago. I thought that was pretty big. You know, if you take anything, then something that's a lateral move to Roush right now. And I think the only thing lateral to Roush is Richard Childress Racing. And then there's everybody else. Right. I mean, you have the top clubs with Joe Gibbs Racing and Hendrick Motorsports and Team Penske and Stuart Haas Racing. But after that, you know, you have Roush and RCR and there's like everybody else. And so do you take one of those everybody else kind of roles and, you know, try to do something with it? But, you know, he hasn't been competitive in the Roush equipment. So, when you're in your 40s, you want your legacy to be that also ran guy in the back. I think that that's the kind of decision that Ryan needs to make.
Benedetto, where do we think he ends up?
I mean, that's a good question. I've heard people say, that he says he's a Sunday driver. Well, you haven't proven to me you're a Sunday driver. He may have a very strong following and a rabid fan base, but the guy's never really been competitive at the Cup level, not for any consistent period of time. And, he said that the crew chief change made a difference for him. And, the numbers prove that out a little bit, but is it enough to have a team that might be looking to upgrade its driver role really take a serious look at him? And I'm not sure it does. And, I remember back when I first got into the sport and the Richard Childresses of the world and the Jack Roushes of the world used to look at the guy that was running 15th and taking a 15th, 20th place car and getting top 10 finishes with it. Matt DiBenedetto's never been able to do that. I know he works out. So, I doubt it's just a matter of falling out the seat. I just wonder, if he is truly has the Cup level of talent. He certainly does not have the, unless, there's something I don't know, he's not one of these guys that brings sponsorship with him. And so if you don't have sponsorship and you don't have, tremendous talent, you're kind of in a no-win position when it comes to the Cup level.
Lee, tell us what you're writing about this week on racingboys.com.
Hell, it's an off week. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm sure I'll come up with something clever regarding the playoffs, but that would, I'm watching a lot of dirt, so it's probably going to be more dirt-related, World of Outlaws, or, some of these guys running both series, something along those lines, because the dirt, dirt's really picked up, and I don't know how much of that you guys watch, but, it's fun to see what's going on there, and, of course, you guys know that Bristol's up and coming, working on a story about their history, since the Thunder Valley opened and or the Great Coliseum. I mean, that place has more names. I mean, I think Darlington's the only one that has more names than Bristol, right? But we're going to do a retrospective piece on that, so I think that'll be pretty cool.
Lee, we appreciate your time as always. We'll talk next week.
Thank you, gentlemen. Have a super week.
You too. Lee Spencer, racingboys.com on 640 WXSM.
Catch the Morning Monster weekdays 6 till 10 on 640 WXSM. And be sure to join us next time for another Morning Monster podcast with Bobby Raider right here.